The family I work for wanted to do something special before I leave them and move on to the next round of my PhD research. So for the first time in almost a decade, they have offered to take me on vacation with them. And while there's nothing wrong with a little jaunt to a KOA campground or trip to Six Flags over wherever, I'm talking first class, 4-star luxury to my most favorite city of all time. I've been all over, and I was certain nothing would top my trip to Israel from earlier this year. But there's something about being in a place you love and feel familiar, and doing it on someone else's dime doesn't hurt either. As we ride from the airport to our respective drop-offs, them a 4-star hotel in a posh part of town, and me a well-appointed Airbnb, close enough to eliminate a commute, but far enough to have no fear of being seen enjoying myself in my downtime. They ask if I've made any plans for our first night, and honestly, we had arranged such an early travel time, I presumed I'd be on duty for the rest of the afternoon and probably into the evening. I say, maybe I'll take a nap and do a little shopping, fill the fridge and all that. Some think it's silly, but my first stop in any foreign place is a grocery store. My love for food and cooking goes beyond an Instagram foodie or the self-proclaimed brunch snobs I find myself around at home. I show my love through food, and I feel my most sensual as I glide through my kitchen, or your kitchen, or any kitchen for that matter, an apron tied over my at-home uniform of panties and a cropped t-shirt, hips swaying to a Motown playlist, dipping my fingers into pots and bowls to taste the magic that I've coaxed out of different ingredients. I turn to the driver and I ask, after we've made our first stop, would you mind dropping me at a grocer and maybe just circling a bit so I can grab a few bits and bobs to tide me over? 30 minutes later, he's idling in a back alley as I delightedly circle the shop with my basket. I'm tossing in anything that sounds delicious. When the handle begins digging into my forearm, I decide I should check out before I lose feeling in my fingers. I do need those after all. I stand at the register and watch a great many overpriced and decadently indulgent treats glide down the belt and get tossed into my favorite travel souvenir, reusable grocery bag from my destination. I know, it's a little dorky. I'm in such edible heaven, I completely forget one crucial step to shopping abroad. I stand there, a wad of bills in my outstretched hand, and feel a wave of embarrassment. Blush creep up my cleavage and across my cheeks as I realize I only have American money. My credit cards are in my luggage. My luggage is in the trunk. The trunk is attached to the car somewhere in a back alley. And while I'm sure there are a number of options I could use right now to save myself, I stand here frozen. A single tear escapes down my cheek, and I open my mouth to do what? I have no idea. But that was the moment. An arm stretches out in front of me, a hand holding the correct currency, and an eerily familiar voice says, "Let's get this sorted, shall we?" I turn and glance up to see who is rescuing me from my jet-lagged faux pas, only to find an unfamiliar face glancing back at me, and a rough thumb brushing away my tear with a gentle, "There now, it's not all that bad, is it?" Before I can respond, I'm bustled to the end of the belt, gathering my things clumsily and feeling no more than surplus to requirements. As I load my tote with all the things that had suddenly begun to look very ridiculous, artisanal honey, long-stemmed strawberries, clotted cream, lush bars of milky chocolate, several pints of ice cream, I am desperately trying to pinpoint that voice while also attempting to quell my rampant blushing with some deep breathing. I hear, "Out of breath for me already? I thought I'd at least get you through the front door before you started panting." It hits me in this moment where I have heard his voice before. This man, this chivalrous, charming, delicious-looking man, has drawn goosebumps up and down my limbs, has made my knees weak with desire and my thighs tremble in satisfaction. He's withheld my pleasure, only to return it to me tenfold moments later. He has touched every inch of my body and made me absolutely drip with yearning at his whispers, moans, and demands. And when he's told me to come with him, to come now, to come all over his cock, to come on his face, to come on his tongue, his fingers, I have exploded with such wanton fury that I have pulled muscles and rearranged furniture with the visceral reaction my body has to that sound. The sound of his voice, because all I've known up until this moment is his voice. He reaches out a hand, and I don't give a second thought to placing mine in his and wordlessly guiding him out of the store. I find the chauffeured car right where I left it, turn and notice a look of badly concealed disappointment on his face. I finally find my voice as I tell him, as much fun as a quick fuck against the bricked wall of this alley would be, I'd rather not let my ice cream melt. I don't say so, but I think we've both begun to realize there's enough sticky, sweet wetness happening between my legs to make us forget the ice cream. He places his hand on the small of my back to help me into the car, leaning enough that as I turn, I catch the scent rising off his neck, and I realize this has gotten away from me. I have lost all composure and am prepared to risk it all just to run my tongue under his ear and down his jawline. I'm lucky the driver already knows where to take me, because the second the door closes behind us, the dam breaks and the backseat becomes a flurry of hands and lips with no focus or control, flailing in an effort to find purchase on any spot of available flesh. We stumble into a configuration that works, him in the center of the seat, me straddling him, bracing myself on his shoulders, and begin to make many shared fantasies into reality. I have no desire to waste a single breath on conversation, and I pounce on his mouth. I lick where his lips meet, parting them to taste his tongue, biting his bottom lip until he winces just to confirm he is real, that he's really here, that the hips bucking underneath me, the cock so hard I can feel every inch through his jeans, is real. I wiggle in my jersey jumpsuit, a travel choice I never expected to infuriate me this much. I raise up slightly to lean into his neck and taste that delicious spot behind his ear, and he seizes this moment to slip a hand between us, cupping my aching pussy, using the other to pull the string on the halter of my jumpsuit. His fingers graze the back of my neck as the strings give way, exposing me completely from the waist up, and my entire body shudders. The silence is broken when he pants into my ear, "Do you know how long I've been waiting to do this?" And I practically black out when I feel his mouth clamp down around my nipple. I break my own silence and groan at the unbelievable feeling of his lips on my breast, the heel of his palm grinding against my swollen clit. The windows are not tinted. No panel rises to block us from view of the driver, and I can't possibly care any less about being seen. This encounter is so fantastical, so unlikely and so rare that I almost hope to be seen. Not to be dramatic, but can I get a fucking witness? I'm prepared to shout into the abyss all my plans to drain this man to the point where he is nothing but a withered husk of his former self. When I hear a soft but urgent throat clearing from the front seat, I'm pushed onto my own seat with a swift twist of my hips, and I find myself scrambling to tie my top and gather my belongings as well as my composure. By the time I not so gracefully exit the car, I find that he's collected our shopping, my luggage, tipped the driver, and is now waiting for the keys to let us in. I refuse to pinch myself in the event that this is simply an exceptionally good dream, and instead I follow breathlessly as I'm led through the front door, down a hall, and over the threshold of a rental that's been chosen for me sight unseen. His height and frame means he gets to take in the view before I do, and I have to push around him to see my home for the next week. I follow his gaze across a small kitchen, a comfortable living room, the unexpected sight of a clawfoot tub peeking out from an unusually large bathroom, and land in the center of the room. I try to hide the small gasp that slips through my lips as I look from the centerpiece of the room to his smirking and gleeful face, and then back to what I presume is intended to be the focal point of the entire flat. A raised platform lit professionally from several directions, atop which sits nothing but a very large bed. My mind explodes in a frenzy of ideas, my only thought satiating my ravenous desire for this man, for his hands, his mouth, and his throbbing cock. I don't realize how I'm heavily and audibly panting until he approaches me from behind, encircling my waist and speaking directly into the part of my neck that makes me liquefy. Shall we unpack the groceries? We don't want the ice cream to melt. I spin around and grab the back of his neck with one hand, my other hand already fumbling towards his belt buckle. Honestly, I tell him, fuck the ice cream.